This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, imemc.org, for Thursday, December 15th, 2005. Bahrain and Abud continue their joint struggle against the separation wall. Israel again affirms its military policy of extrajudicial assassinations, invasions, arrests and expanding settlements in blatant disregard for international law. And the latest on the ongoing internal crisis in Fatah. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Abud and Bahrain villages are now coordinating weekly peaceful actions against the separation wall. Bahrain has been hosting actions every Friday for a year, and Abud has joined them for a month now every Sunday. This week, the two villages planted olive trees at the wall's construction site. Both actions were accompanied by international and Israeli peace activists. In Abud, the Latin Patriarch Michel Sabah, several Muslim sheikhs, and local political leaders also joined in. Israeli soldiers attacked both groups with clubs, tear gas, and rubber-coated bullets. In Bahrain, five villagers, including two children, were injured, and two Israeli activists were also injured. In Abud, soldiers detained an Israeli peace activist and took him to an unknown destination. John Dugard, UN Special Envoy for Human Rights in the Occupied Territories, attended Bahrain's Friday action and, after meeting with members of the village council, said he intends to file a report to the United Nations.
The Israeli army invaded the West Bank city of Nablus this Tuesday at dawn. Soldiers fired at dozens of houses and several clashes were reported. One resident was killed, at least 20 injured. Two Israeli soldiers were also injured when an explosive charge was hurled at their jeep. The army returned to invade the city again over the weekend. Israeli soldiers arrested 17 residents and killed one member of the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade. Chris, a humanitarian aid volunteer who lives in the city, described what happened.
Dozens of military vehicles all around the center of Nablus, particularly in Sufyan Street and streets parallel to that. They had some big new vehicles, bigger than Hummers, and there were hundreds of children out on the streets. And when we got there, there was already live fire. There had been no gas, no rubber bullets, just straight to live fire.
On Thursday, the army invaded Tulkarm and Anabta, injuring two residents and arresting 23 residents. Later that night, an Israeli undercover unit killed Yasser Ikmael, age 24, in the West Bank city of Kabatia. Ikmael was a member of the Islamic Jihad's military wing. He died of two bullet wounds to the chest and back.
Despite the so-called Gaza pullout, Israel's business of invasions and assassinations in the Gaza Strip continued this week. Khadr Habib, Islamic Jihad's media spokesperson, survived an assassination attempt when an Israeli spy plane dropped a bomb on his vehicle in Gaza City. Habib escaped with only light injuries, but Islamic Jihad vowed fierce retaliation. On Wednesday evening, four Palestinian fighters were assassinated with missiles fired by an Israeli warplane. And on Tuesday morning, Israeli tanks shelled the city of Khan Yunis, killing one resident.
Israeli Defense Minister Shaul Mofaz gave the green light for construction of hundreds of new settler housing units in the West Bank. The construction violates international and Israeli law, as well as the U.S. brokered roadmap, which all call for the cessation of settlement expansion. After approving these violations, Mofaz announced his intention to quit Likud and join Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's new Kadima party. The settlement housing will encroach on land belonging to the village of Bilayn. Abdullah Abu Rahma, a member of the Popular Committee Against the Wall in Bilayn, talked about Israel's real motivation for building the wall.
We warned that it is not an issue of security. They say the wall is constructed for security concerns, but the real reason for its construction is to annex as much land as possible. This is a clear strategy for settlement expansion. There is a wide strip of land between our village and the Green Line, on which they plan to construct more settlements.
The Just minutes before the midnight cut-off for registering electoral lists, Fatah submitted its official list of 66 candidates to run in the Palestinian Legislative Council elections on January 25th. Over 400 candidates have been registered on 12 lists across the occupied territories. The imprisoned but popular Marwan Barghouti led both the Fatah and Mustaqbal lists. His name had originally been kept off of Fatah's lists, but was quickly added when members of Fatah's military wing shut up the movement's Gaza headquarters in protest, injuring three. Barghouti, part of Fatah's young guard, has been repeatedly sidelined by Fatah's old guard. Apparently losing patience, he has threatened to leave Fatah. His departure would be a blow to the party, which is already facing internal crisis, and the growing popularity of Hamas. Meanwhile, initial results of local elections in the West Bank cities of Nablus, Jenin and El Bira show a landslide victory for Hamas over the Fatah ruling party, with Hamas pulling 65% of the vote and Fatah only 15%. The final results will come out on Sunday. Elections were held in 40 other towns in the West Bank, but results have not yet come out. And that's some of the news this week in occupied Palestine. From the International Middle East Media Center in Beit Sahour, this is Dina Awad and Tarina Aguilar.